You know, one of the things as believers, Jesus came and the first thing he preached was, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Amen? You know, so many times we lose sight of that because he actually went into the synagogue and he preached, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. You know? And we lose sight that we talk about walking in the Spirit and so forth and having fellowship with the Spirit, but we lose sight and the importance of the difference between outward and inward. You know? And the Spirit of the Lord was expressing to me the importance of refreshing us and letting us know where He stands and where He's at. You know, not only are we in God, but God is in us. You know? And we lose sight of that. And it's real easy to grieve the Holy Spirit. You know, some people may think it's difficult, but it's not. It's real easy to grieve Him. And one of the ways of grieving Him is by not listening. You know? And we've got to really learn to listen. And the other thing is just trusting. You know? So many times our flesh, you know, we're not fighting flesh and blood, are we? But darkness is using your flesh to combat us. Does everybody got it? Because how does he tempt us? Tempt us through the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and pride of life, right? So he's always bringing you to your flesh, yourself. But one of the things the Holy Spirit wants to do is bring you to him in you. Because it's no longer an outward walk, it's an inward walk. Does everybody understand that? And many times, many believers, they get caught up in the outward walk instead of the inward walk. And that's where the outward walk is manifesting according to where their relationship is on the inward. Has everybody got it? Okay. So would you turn to John 15, please? We're calling this tonight the inward walk. In other words, we've talked about walking in the Spirit. We know that walking in the Spirit is walking in the anointing of Christ, walking in the Holy Spirit, right? But there is a place for that also, isn't there? There's a place where we'll begin to understand beyond more than just walking in the Spirit. But where is the Spirit? Amen. Where is your communion? John 15. I believe that this teaching tonight will change our lives. Of course, everything the Spirit gives us changes our life, doesn't it? Amen. But I really believe that because one of the devil's greatest weapon is deception. Amen. You know, and his power is fear. When he turns you away from looking into the Spirit, he turns you looking towards him. And you don't even realize it. And one of the fruits of fellowship of darkness is fear. Worry. Right? Has everybody got it?
Amen.
Fear and worry. Why? Because what's he doing? He's losing your focus. You know, when the Word says, seek the Lord, right? As you and I seek Him, you know what He begins to do? Bring us to Him. He brings us on an inward relationship, doesn't He? Does everybody understand that? Okay. In John 15, starting at verse 1, would you read it with me? I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. Now, wait a minute. Every branch where?
In Him.
In Him. Cool. That does not bear fruit, He what?
Takes
it away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes that it may bear more fruit. Now, there's a pruning session. Hello? No problem. We need to get pruned once in a while. Hallelujah. Sometimes we need to get the soul slapped out of us. And, you know, shake the dust off and get going. In verse 3, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. Where?
In
you. Ooh. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Now, we see that there's a oneness coming in. Abiding in is a representation of being one. Has everybody got it? You're being one. You're abiding in one another. One person does not abide in one, another person without the other person abiding in them. Does everybody got it? The word says when a son leaves a mother and father, right, becomes one flesh with his wife, and they become one, don't they? Amen. They abide, don't they? And they become one. And what does it produce? An offspring of one, doesn't it? So when you and I abide in the Spirit, we become one with Him. Because He's not only abiding in us, but we're abiding in Him. But where is He? He's in us. Because it's an inward walk, not an outward. So everybody got it? Okay, let's go a little further. Oh, hallelujah. And verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, so there's got to be a both, right? He who abides in me and I in him bears what?
Much
fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Whoa. That's why some people just aren't doing nothing.
Amen.
Oh, Jesus is my Lord and Savior, yes. I'm a good person. I pay my tithes, I read my Bible, I go to Bible study, I worship the Lord, I even lift my hands, pray in that funny language. I do all kinds of things. But see, it's outward. Because if you're not bearing good fruit and much fruit, the relationship is outward and not inward. Amen?
Amen.
And that's how religion is manifested.
Amen.
And relationship is severed. And then you know what happens after that. It's only a period of time. Okay. Is everybody all right?
Amen.
Verse 6. If anyone does not, what? Abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Wow. You remember we talked before about when Jesus was on the earth, he covered everything, didn't he? His disciples were right there. In other words, when he said, go do this, he was with them, wasn't he? Amen? His anointing expanded over, he was covering his disciples. His disciples came underneath the anointing and leadership of Jesus the Christ, the anointed one, and his anointing. Okay? So when he said, go out and cast out devils, heal this, do that, they could do that. But when Jesus left, they couldn't.
Amen.
That's why he said, go to the upper room, go to Jerusalem, don't go nowhere. I command you. And wait for the Holy Spirit. Amen? Wait for the Holy Spirit. Why? So we can continue on this mission where it's no longer outward but inward. Remember, Jesus didn't just want to walk alongside of them anymore. He wanted to live in them. But if you don't understand the relationship that's in you and awaiting for you, abiding in you so that you can abide in Him,
amen,
then you're an outward walker. And you'll be led by your flesh, what you see, what you feel, and all the other garbage of the world. You can't be content. You'll be miserable. You don't get rest. And you're always trying to do works to fulfill self. And that's where the, many drug programs and stuff, you hear people, I was just talking to a woman today who has a program. And she's a believer. She's a sweet woman, But she doesn't get it. Unfortunately, she just doesn't get it. But to God be the glory, she's doing what she can. And she takes guys in and she puts them to work right away. And she says, we need to keep them busy. And I'm like, man, that's management. They're not free. If you got to stay busy to stop using drugs, doing pornography, and all the other things of the world, then you're not free.
Amen.
And you got an outward relationship instead of an inward relationship.
Right.
Amen? You do not have to stay busy to be clean. I got to stay busy. That's torment. It's not freedom, is it? Amen? That's deception. And who wants to manage that stuff?
Amen.
Not me. Get rid of it. Ezekiel chapter 36. So we understand that there's an inward walk. Has everybody got it? Ezekiel 36. Glory to the Lamb. Is everybody there? Ezekiel 36, 23. You know, sometimes it's hard to explain to individuals about having a relationship inward, you know, because they're so accustomed of outward. You know? Outward. In verse 23, would you read it with me? "And I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst, and the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I am hallowed in you before their eyes." Where? In you. Woo. When you, and now remember, the word hallowed is a representation of reverenced, acknowledged. As you begin to look for him inward, which that's where he's at. Yes, we live and have our being in him. Right? He is everywhere. But there's a personal place where he's at waiting for me and you. And it's in us. Where he is. Amen? Okay, verse 22. "For I'll take you from among the nations, gather you out of all the countries, and bring you into your own land." Thank. Oh, 24, I'm sorry. Verse 24. Is everybody there? Okay. Next verse, anyway. "Then I will sprinkle you clean. I'll sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean, and I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols." Idols, those things that are between you and God. Yeah. That outward stuff, you know. Me, myself, and I, that's not inward. Me, myself, and I is flesh. In verse 26, would you read it with me? "And I will give you" what?
A new heart
and put a what? New spirit within you. "And I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. And I will deliver you from all of your uncleanliness. I will call for the grain and multiply it, and bring no famine upon you. And I will multiply the fruit of your trees and the increase of your fields, so that you need never again bear the reproach of famine among the nations." So he says, hallowed in you, reverenced in you, acknowledged in you. Where? In you, right? Now we know that the word new heart is right. The heart is the character of your spirit, isn't it? The heart is the character of your spirit. So he says, I'm going to give you a what? New heart. Why? Because he's going to give you a new spirit that's called born again, isn't it? And then he's going to give you his spirit. So we've got three things manifesting here. When you and I become born again in the spirit, right? The Holy Spirit comes and bursts that seed, right? We, you and I, get a new character. We get a character of Christ in us. And he's saying, listen, now the Holy Spirit is in you to help you walk according to my will, my way, my desires, to see through my eyes, to hear through my ears, and to speak the things I want you to speak. Amen. That you may touch what I direct you to touch and walk where I want you to walk. That's a whole other realm. That's a whole other creation. That's what it means. He who is in Christ is a new creation. He didn't say repaired. Rebuilt. He said new. New. Everyone in this room that has accepted Christ as Lord and Savior and been filled with the Spirit is brand new.
Amen.
You are brand new. But the devil doesn't want you to think that. Amen? So that's why he likes to bring you to the mind, which is outward. Everybody got it?
Amen.
The mind is always looking outward. But the Spirit of God, the living God, is inward. And this is where we want to have relationship. You cannot have a relationship in your mind. Hello? And that's where people go astray. Now, we know that the mind of Christ is the Holy Spirit, right? And he brings things to remembrance, doesn't he? Amen? So he'll bring the word to remembrance, doesn't he? Well, he's bringing the word to remembrance in your mind. But your relationship is not in your mind. The word is always directing you to the Spirit of God. Has everybody got it? Hello? Come on, we're going to change some things around. We're going to open light where there's been deception and darkness all the time.
Amen?
Amen. Praise God. Now, we see here again, hallowed in us, get a new heart because we're getting a new spirit, and we get the power of the Spirit to direct us. Because he's going to give us power and fellowship. That's what the Holy Spirit is doing. He's bringing us power to fellowship, isn't he? Because you can't fellowship without power. The only thing we'll fellowship is with flesh. Mm-hmm. Oh, hallelujah. Hebrews 8. Hebrews chapter 8. Glory to the Lamb. You know, how many times did you think that the Holy Spirit said something to you and you heard in your mind, hello? It was just, yeah, he said this. And you realize he didn't. You realize he didn't. Man, I could have sworn it was God. Man, I guess it wasn't. You're going to find out that most of the time you think you're hearing from God, 50% of it is and 50% of it isn't. I'm always weary of people saying, yeah, the Lord told me this, the Lord told me that, the Lord told me this, the Lord told me that. When I'm not hearing, but I'm hearing, that's not me. See, there's a difference. It's not a mind relationship, it's a spirit relationship. There's a total difference. There's times when you'll be able to walk by someone and your spirit, you feel, you sense your spirit grasping on to somebody else's spirit. That's where Jesus was groaning. That's why the Bible says that we groan. What's this groaning in? It's your spirit groaning. Has everybody got it? Oh, hallelujah. Okay. If you ever looked at a fire, right? You looked at a fire. You know, the outward, the blue part or whatever, man, that'll burn you, won't it? But the real heat, the things that really melt, is on the inside. And if you ever look at a flame of fire, it's like yellow, red, and blue. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's powerful. But where's the fire originating? You know, right where that log is or where it's originating, where it's burning from. And then you see the gases coming off, don't you, from whatever is burning. And the outwardness is that it will burn you and touch you. But the origination, where it's originated from, is a different color. In fact, it's difficult to get to that, isn't it, without cooking. But see, in the spirit, that's where God wants to get us to. That's why he paid the price. Because at one time, you couldn't approach God. You burned. You died. Right? You look at the Old Testament. You swore, you were killed. And that's why he told Moses, take your shoes off. You're on holy ground. Right? Your shoes were a representation of the old man. Worldliness. Take those shoes off. That's carnal. Come on. I got some Holy Ghost shoes. I'm giving you a gospel. Preparation of the gospel of peace for new shoes. Come on over here. Hallelujah. Where are we? Hebrews. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Hebrews chapter 8. Glory to God. Now, we just read that we would get a new spirit, a new heart, and the Holy Spirit to cause us, because he's got the power, to cause us to walk in the ways, right? Now look what he says in Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 7. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. Now he's talking about the Old Testament or the Old Covenant, right? Because finding fault with them, he says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, which Egypt means worldliness. Because they did not continue in my covenant, and I disregarded them, says the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. Now, the house of Israel is a representation of the church. This is a new covenant I'm going to make. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my what? Laws in their mind. Now, I want you to understand something. In the Hebrew language, the word mind does not exist. Okay? The word mind does not exist. What it means is spirit. Okay? What it means is spirit. And I will put my laws in their, what we say mind, but in their spirit, and write them on their what? Well, what is your heart? The character of your spirit, right? So where is he going to put them? In your spirit. And I will be their God, and they shall be my what? They shall be my people. So here again, he says, I'm going to put my laws, my ways. Listen, what's in you right now is more than just the Ten Commandments. There's a lot more.
Amen?
Because things are coming through at a moment, at a point in your life when you're getting ready to make a decision on something. The Holy Spirit is giving you something that is a command from the throne room of God, guided by your Holy Father, to direct you in the right decision. Has everybody got it? Everything you do, God is trying to direct us. Now, you may not hear it all the time. You may be impressed with it. Has everybody got it? You may have a knowing in your knower, which is in your spirit, that what you're about to do is wrong or right. And how many times did you do something and you go, you know what? I knew I shouldn't have done that. Or you thank the Lord for obeying him. But you really didn't hear some audible voice or a voice. It was an impression because your relationship is inward. Okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Sometimes people get confused in their knowers. Their knowers are know-it-alls or they're or they're not knowers at all. Second Corinthians chapter 3. Hallelujah. Is everybody okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 4. Ooh, let's go back a little bit. Verse 2. For you are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly you are an epistle of Christ ministered to us, written not with ink, but by the what? Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is of the heart. Whoa, there we go, back into that inward relationship. And we have such trust through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the what? New covenant. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Why? Because there's fellowship with life. Without fellowship with life, you don't have life. Amen? Now go to Hebrews again in chapter 9. So we see the difference between the Old Testament or the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. Now we are in the ministry of the Spirit, aren't we? The ministry of the Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. Do you know when you speak the word, you got a two-edged sword coming out of your mouth? Ooh, there's light coming out of your mouth. And when you praise and worship the Lord, do you notice how the atmosphere changes? You know why? Because light's overtaking darkness all around you because of what's coming out of your mouth. You're a fountain of light because you're a fountain of life. But the devil wants you to be caught up in the mind. Come on, have fellowship up here. Right? Come on, have fellowship up here. Let me tell you about all the things you don't have, things you need. Right? Let me give you some new desires. Come on, let me remind you of your past too. Let me put a little guilt on this, you know, cake of condemnation. Right? Oh, he's good at those things. You know why? You're getting caught up and sucked up with a relationship in the mind. And the Holy Spirit's going bam, bam, hitting you and hitting you and quoting scriptures and quoting scriptures. And you're saying, not now, not now. Right? Come on, everybody's done it. Hello? Not now, I want to feed my flesh. I don't need the scriptures right now. I know I hear them, I just want to feed my flesh. Let me do my way. One more time. Oh, hallelujah. You know, we get people that come into the ministry, right? You know, the devil convinces them, one more night. Just one more night. Yeah. Yeah, I'll party out one more night. And then I'll go in. Oh, hallelujah. Hey, we all did it. But we partied up there, usually that one more night, and we didn't make it in. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 1 through something. Then indeed, even the first covenant had ordinances of divine service and earthly sanctuary. So we see that these ordinances and so forth of the first covenant was outward, wasn't it? For a tabernacle was prepared first, part in which was a lampstand, a table, and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And behind the second veil, the part of the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had a golden censer, the Ark of the Covenant, overlaid on all sides with gold, in which were the golden pot that had the manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the tablets of the covenant. And above it were the cherubim of glory overshadowing the mercy seat. Of these things we cannot now speak in detail. Now when these things had been thus prepared, the priests always went into the first part of the tabernacle, performing the services or the rituals. But in the second part, the high priest went alone once a year. Good fellowship, huh? Once a year, not without blood, which he had offered for himself and for the people's sins committed in ignorance. The Holy Spirit indicating this, that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was still standing. Now that's powerful. In other words, you could not get into Holy of Holies while the first covenant was still standing. There had to be a new one. And of course, there had to be another place to dwell. Hallelujah. It was symbolic for the present time in which both gifts and sacrifices are offered, which cannot make him who performed the service perfect in regard to the conscience. Concern only with foods and drinks, various washings, and fleshly ordinances imposed until a time of reformation. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. That is not of this creation. That's why you're a new creation. Amen? That's why you're a new creation. Hallelujah. Old covenant was an outward relationship, wasn't it? The new covenant is an inward relationship. Go to Romans 8. Oh, to God be the glory. Verse 8. So then those who are, read it with me. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Oh, that means outward relationship. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if always means what? Choice. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now understand something. The Spirit of God may dwell in you, but if you don't have a relationship with Him, you're walking in the flesh. Amen. Yeah, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit 20 years ago. Praying tongues every day. Don't know God. Amen. Can't obey Him when He talks to me. Hello? But I'm trusting in Him. Oh, really? Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to marry her in a couple more years. I'm trusting God's going to get me through and keep me from going to hell. Wrong. Foolish flesh creatures. Hallelujah. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he's not His. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. In other words, We know that Christ is in us, don't we? Well, the body should be dead to sin, shouldn't it? But if you don't have relationship in Christ with the Spirit of the living God in you, your flesh is still running your life. I don't care how much quoting the Scripture you do. I don't care if you memorize the page numbers. Hello? And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of the sin, but the Spirit is what? Life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. Now that's a choice, isn't it? He's saying, cut it out. For if you live according to the flesh, you will what?
Die.
But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are what? Those who have a relationship in the Spirit. Now we're getting more understanding about in the Spirit. Because the Spirit of God dwells in you. It's an inward relationship. That's why you've got to shut off everything outside sometimes to hear. That's why you've got to go get quiet before your Father. That's why you've got to wait on Him sometimes. That's why you've got to have that peace that surpasses all understanding before you make a move. Amen? Because we want to be sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. Here you go. Your relationship outward, what happens? You get in bondage to what? Fear. What are you afraid of? Everything. Now you may be Mr. Muscular and whatever, not afraid of anything. Right? But that's not what he's talking about, is he? He's talking about fear. One of the great fears is what? Losing something. Giving up something, right? You might have been bad out in the gangs and whatever. I get guys approach me all the time in a jail like that. Yeah, man. I was such and such and I said, oh, really? Well, you're a wimp. Don't even know it. You know. You may be rough for the devil, but you're a wimp for Christ. Now let's turn it around. Because that's where it really counts, doesn't it? Dying to self is being led by the Spirit. I would rather be a son of God. Amen? You know, sometimes it's not easy to turn away and walk away from someone that's in front of you. Remember, Jesus let them slap both sides, didn't he? Those are sons of God. It tells us what sons of God are. Peacemakers. Right? Sons of God. Pure in heart. Humble. See, the outward has a relationship with flesh. Things of flesh, desires of flesh, wants. The inward has no want. Because you got it. Not that you've made it, but you have it. Amen? We haven't made it, but what we have, glory. He says, for you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. In other words, come out of the outward relationship and get on the inward relationship. But you received the spirit of adoption of whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Oh, Daddy, help.
Amen.
Now it says this, in verse 16, read it with me. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Remember? You get a new spirit, new heart, and the Holy Spirit. What's He there? Bearing witness. Now let me explain something about bearing witness. Bearing witness does a few things. It confirms, it testifies, it reveals, and it exposes. The witness, let me say this again, all right? Bearing witness confirms, testifies, reveals, and exposes. Now it says that the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we also may be glorified together. Praise God. Go to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse 12. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him, and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Woo. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. Well, that's real simple, isn't it? Now, you may confess so that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, so you understand that the seed of Christ, Christ Himself, is in us. The problem is we constantly are looking for an outwardness. We're looking for an outwardness. And we've got to start looking inward. Go to the book of John in chapter 2. Even though, you know, even when you begin to praise and worship the Lord, you know where you're actually going? Inward. Even though we're doing an outward expression, what you're doing is shutting off the world. And you're going inward. John chapter 2, in verse 18. So the Jews answered and said to him, "What sign do you show to us since you do these things?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Oh, hallelujah. He's saying, listen, we're getting rid of this outward stuff. Right? We're going to start a whole new covenant. Then the Jews said, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. Yeah. Hallelujah. The temple of his body. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and verse 16 and 17. "Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" Everybody say, "I am."
I am.
The temple of God.
The temple of God.
I am.
I am.
The temple of God.
The temple of God.
Again, I
am.
The temple of God. Amen. You're the temple of God. You're the temple of the Creator of all things. Far be it that we should offend Him.
Amen.
Amen. If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. We need to begin to look in a whole... Listen, you don't need to have a steeple, right, when you look in the mirror. Now, if you need to put some, whatever, some gel or something... Or put a hat on there that says, "I am the temple of God." I don't care. Maybe you need to write it on the mirror. Look, the temple of God. But you got to begin to recognize who you are. Your flesh has now been turned over to the temple of God. Now, your flesh doesn't carry the temple of God. God carries your flesh, if you'll let Him. And that can only be done by fellowshipping inward. Quit staying, people are talking about going to church, right? Let me see people go out, they are. How many people do you talk to out there? "Yeah, I'm going to go to church next week." And they never show up. How many times you've been saying, "Lord, I'm coming to you," and you never show up? Even though you're the temple of God, you're still outside the doors. Amen. Outside the doors knocking. "Hello, is anyone in there?" "Yes, come on in, I've been waiting for you." Glory to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Hallelujah. Let's read this together starting at verse 15. "Do you not know that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not Yahweh. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. So you have a choice, don't you? You can have fellowship with the flesh, or you can have fellowship in the spirit, which is in you. You either have an outward relationship or an inward relationship. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body. But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Everybody say, I am not my own. Say it again. I am not my own. Come on again. I am not my own.
My body
is the temple
of the Holy Spirit.
I am not my own. Verse 20. For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Yow. Woohoo! Galatians chapter 2. So you can get up tomorrow morning, look in the mirror and go, Hi, Lord!
Amen.
Hi, Lord. Good morning. How are you? Oh, praise God. I love you. Hug yourself and hug him. what did I say? Galatians chapter 2. In verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So what's happening? It's no longer your life. And what's happening? You've been crucified. As long as you walk in the Spirit and have fellowship in the Spirit, your flesh is crucified. It can't do nothing. As soon as you begin to fellowship with it, in the ways of the world, it comes off the cross and starts running your life. That's why the Word says, come out from among them, right? Don't touch anything unclean. You know, it means come in, not out. Come out from among them. Yeah, let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. A dwelling place for the King of Glory. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20. Somewhere around there. 19. Ooh. Let's go to 18. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself becoming the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. You're a dwelling place of God. Glory to God. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2. These are some attributes. We are dwelling places. We are a temple. Right? We no longer live by flesh. We live in the Spirit. We live by faith. We no longer have an outward relationship. It's an inward relationship. 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's start at verse 1. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. Hello. How many of y'all been rejected by men? Amen. Uh-oh, here he comes again. Hide everything, lock everything up. Don't answer the door. I know that's my own kid. you also, as living stones, are being built up a what? Spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So you and I are a spiritual house, aren't we?
Amen.
Praise God, we're spiritual houses. Not only are we a dwelling place, we are a temple, but we're a spiritual house offering up sacrifices to the Lord by what you praise, by what comes out of your mouth. Right?
Amen.
But as you worship Him, you're offering up spiritual sacrifices as a sweet aroma to Him. Oh, hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Go to John 14. John 14 and verse 20. And Jesus was speaking to them, and He said to them, "At that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you." Now what was He doing? He was revealing the coming of the Spirit. He says, in that day, in other words, in that day you're going to know that I and my Father are one, and that I am in you. "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." Whoa! And He will manifest Himself to us. How? Through His Spirit. Through His Spirit. So we see here that Jesus reveals the coming of His Spirit in oneness with us. One of the other things He begins to do is He reveals His mission. Go to John 17 and verse 23. Ooh, okay, we'll back up a little bit. 22. And Jesus was, He was praying. And He said, "The glory which you gave me, I have given them." What glory? Amen? His glory, His presence, everything. He said, "What the Father has given me, I have given them. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them, and you in me. That they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me." So what was Jesus' mission? Is that the world would know through me and you. Does everybody understand that? And the mission continues, doesn't it? That he would expose Himself through me and you now. One of the important things that is a must is obedience, isn't it? Turn to 1 John chapter 3. Obedience is a must. Hallelujah. And in verse 23, "And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. Now he who keeps His commandments abides in Him, and He in him. And by this we know that He abides in us by the Spirit whom He has given us." So who keeps His commandments. So obedience is a must, isn't it? And that only can be maintained by inward relationship. Amen? Go to while we're in 1 John, go to chapter 2 and verse 18. "Little children, it is the last hour, and you have heard that the Antichrist is coming. Even now many Antichrists have come." Antichrist is a representation also as anti-fellowship. He doesn't want you to have fellowship inward with the anointing of Christ, does he? The anointed one. And we know the word anointed or Christ means anointed one and His anointing. It's Greek in an English Bible. Anointed one and His anointing. "They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be manifest that none of them were of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things." So as you begin to fellowship with the Spirit who created all things, you're going to know what you need to know. You're going to know what you need to know. The only reason why people get in trouble is because they don't have fellowship. If you love someone, you have fellowship with them. God says, if you love me, you'll what? Obey me. Right? So we got to stop this outward stuff. Outwardness says, well, I didn't drink today, I didn't use today, I didn't look at a pornography, I didn't cuss, there's too many eyes involved. Relationship brings Him. Brings obedience. Brings inwardness. You're not boasting on what you've done because you haven't done anything. Because the Word says that you gave your life to Him and it's not you that lives anymore, but Him. So why should anyone say, "Hi, I did this"? No. To God be all the glory is what you say. Because you and I can do nothing. He says you can't do nothing without Him. Right? Oh, hallelujah. So we have this anointing in us. In other words, the Holy Spirit is the anointing, isn't He? He is the person that you have fellowship with in you, and you will know all things. Amen. Now, it doesn't mean that you know all things. Do you understand that? It means He's going to let you know what you need to know. And it's on a need-to-know basis. Not when you want to know. You don't use the Spirit of God. He uses us. Oh, hallelujah. I've not written you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it. So you know the truth, but you're not being able to walk it, right? That means that there's an outward relationship instead of an inward. And because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Now, you got to understand this. There's more than just what letters are saying. Amen?
Amen.
He's saying, and he was a liar, but he who denies Jesus Christ. You know that you deny Christ when you don't have a relationship. Amen. Peter had a relationship, didn't he? An outward one. And didn't he deny Christ three times? No difference. That means he had fellowship with the Antichrist. Didn't he? Keeping an outward relationship instead of an inward. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son, acknowledges, meaning relationship, has the Father also. Therefore, let that abide where? In you, which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and the Father. And this is the promise that He's promised us, eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. But the anointing which you have received from Him abides in you. And you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning what? All things. And is true. And is not a lie. And just as it has taught you, you will abide in Him. Oh, hallelujah. Now, everybody all right?
Amen.
Okay. Go to 1 Kings chapter 9. 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. I'm sorry. Okay, we're talking about this inward walk. Precept, line upon line. It's been testified that there is an inward walk, isn't there? The old covenant is an outward walk. The new covenant is an inward walk. Okay. Praise God. Now, how is God speaking to us? Ooh. Hallelujah. Now, I just want to touch on a couple things. 1 Kings chapter 19. Is everybody okay?
Amen.
Glory to God. 1 Kings chapter 19. In verse 7. Now, this is he's talking about Elijah, who was running for his life. Just gets done calling fire down from heaven, and he gets attacked by a Jezebel spirit. And he's running. In verse 7, and the angel of the Lord came back the second time and touched him and said, "Arise, eat, because the journey is too great for you." So he arose and ate and drank, and he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? As far as Horeb, the mountain of God. And there he went into a cave and spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. When did it come to him? At night. Does everybody understand that? Where was he? He was alone in a cave, wasn't he? And the word of the Lord came to him. You know, the word of the Lord probably tried to come to him while he was running for 40 days and 40 nights, but he was too busy. Funny thing, stop, you don't need to go any further. Now check this out. And the word of the Lord came to him, right? And he said, why are you, what are you doing here, Elijah? So he finally listened. How many times has God said, what are you doing? What do you mean, Lord? I remember one day I was, you know, when I was a little bit younger, and I wanted to do everything for God. Oh, man, I wanted to rescue everyone. And I still do. But, you know, we're called to rescue everyone, right? But everyone is called for a specific thing in how to rescue everyone in that arena. So I went down to the coalition, and, man, I just, you know, a couple days prior to it, the Lord sent me down there, and I was on Central and helping people and doing this and whatever. And then a couple days later, I was thinking, man, I'm just going to go down there, and, you know, whatever. And I got down there, got to the front door, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit said to me, Guy, what are you doing here? I thought, all right, I got my car and left. He said, don't you, in other words, don't go there unless I send you. Don't go there. But man, it kind of, and it reminded me of this, because as soon as I got there, I was at the front door, you know, going to talk to people about Jesus. And he said, what are you doing here? Man, my heart sunk, because I knew I just disobeyed him. I went on my own assumption. I assumed. I got back in my car and came home and repented. What are you doing here, Elijah? So he said, I've been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts. For the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, Lord, torn down your altars, killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left. And they seek to take my life. I'm out of here. And the Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks and pieces before the Lord. I think Daddy was showing him something. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. That's where he was. See, you can't hear a still small voice until you get still. That is the first way God speaks to me and you, is in a still small voice. Do you understand that? That's the first way he speaks to us. I remember so many times I'd be getting ready to do something, and you'll begin to separate your thoughts from the still small voice. You'll begin to separate what you believe and what is truth. Does everybody understand it? It's like, listen, the old man is still there. He's just been crucified. Sometimes you gotta put a rag in its mouth. You know. Tie it up, put blinders on it, you know. I remember one day I was getting ready to walk out the house and the Holy Spirit said, take $20 with you. And I thought, and my thought was that you? And I heard him say, take $20 with you. And I went back and grabbed 20 bucks. And I walked out, ran into somebody that needed 20 bucks. And I was like, all right. Driving down the road. That man wants to talk to you. Pull in there, and that's where that guy got healed. Do you understand? It's that still small voice. Now, I'm not saying that God can't speak to you in an audible voice, because he is. Amen. He can. He can speak to you even loudly. You know, sometimes you just need to ask him, Lord, please speak to me louder. You know, I'm a real bonehead. Help me. You know, he doesn't mind that. I used to cry every day to Holy Spirit, I can't hear you the way I need to hear you. Speak to me louder. And he used to. And then sometimes he's not going to speak to you because he's expecting you to do certain things. Amen. Right? Amen. Okay. So he spoke, the first way God is going to always speak to you is in a still, small voice. That's why sometimes you've got to get alone. You've got to. Amen? And if you're not an individual that's not getting alone with God in the morning, you're going to walk outward.
Amen.
And it's just a matter of time. The devil's going to take you out. And you're going to look at all the blessings God gave you and watch it all go. Until you get an inward relationship. Oh, hallelujah. And you know, you just can't keep laying supplications on the feet of Jesus. You got to hear what you're supposed to do. Has everybody got it? So the first way the Holy Spirit's going to speak to us is through a still, small voice. Go to Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2 and verse 28. Is everybody there? And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Now watch this. And your sons and your daughters shall what? That's gifts of the Spirit. God will speak to you through the gifts of the Spirit. And your old men shall dream dreams. And your young men shall see visions. He will speak to you through dreams and visions also, won't he? Yeah. Gifts of the Spirit and dreams and visions. Has everybody got that?
Amen.
This, remember, we're walking in the Spirit now. We're having an inward relationship.
Amen.
It's totally different. I've shared this over and over and over. When I first had my encounter with the Lord, I got baptized and filled with the Spirit of God. God did not allow me to read the Bible. I had no desire to read the Bible whatsoever. You know why? He wanted me to know Him first. Now, you may think that's crazy. And don't get me wrong. It was the Word of God that came to me where the seed got planted. Do you understand that? When the seed got planted, the Holy Spirit birthed it. And you know what happened? The laws were written in my spirit. The Word, I was written. The Word was in me. Beyond written. Because the one who wrote it was living in me.
Amen.
So you know what? You know more than what the Word is written.
Amen.
No, it's not blasphemy, okay? You know more than what the Word is written.
Amen.
Why? Because you have relationship inward who wrote the Word. Amen. And the Bible says that all the things that Jesus did and taught couldn't be written. So you got it all, man. You got it all. You just got to learn to tap there. You got to learn to get in there. And it's not about memorizing a page number. Right? You just got to get in. Oh, hallelujah. So that's why the first way God's going to speak to you through a still small voice. Then He's going to speak to you through gifts of the Spirit and dreams and visions. Has everybody got it? Okay. Oh, hallelujah. Go to 1 Corinthians 12. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Daddy. Now, I'm not telling you not to read your Word, am I?
No.
No, you better read your Word.
Amen.
In fact, we're being taught out of the Word, aren't we?
Amen.
But it was brought by the Spirit to bring the Word out, wasn't it?
Amen.
So I had to first go to my Daddy to get a revelation, didn't I?
Amen.
And the still small voice told me what to do. And I prayed in the Spirit. And when things began to get a little foggy, I stopped. I prayed in the Spirit. All right? And then He gave me what I needed to do. Okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Because it's not me that lives, it's Him. Hallelujah. And in verse, let's see. Oh, I wonder why it doesn't look right. Let me get to 1 Corinthians 12. Okay, verse 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Everybody there? There are diversities of gifts, but the what? Same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So God wants to manifest Himself through the gifts in me and you. That's why there are gifts of revelations, discerning of spirits, right? Tongues and interpretation in tongues. Those are revelation gifts, aren't they? Has everybody got it?
Amen.
Discerning the spirit, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. Okay. So the manifestation is for all through the gifts. Now we also know that through the gifts, if you read this, it says, and there are differences of ministries, but the what? Same Lord. In other words, God has placed offices with officers that are manifesting through the gifts of the Spirit that are here to assist the body of Christ. Does everybody got it? Okay, turn to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. Ephesians 4, verse 11. And he himself, who is Jesus, gave some to be apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. For what? The equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying in the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried away with every wind of doctrine, or the things that you hear, by trickery of men or demons, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Has everybody got it? So God puts officers in the body of Christ that are manifesting in the gifts of the Spirit, that you and I may have counsel or have association with the Spirit of counsel to get counsel, correction, and direction. Amen? That's why God placed offices. Has everybody got it? Hallelujah. Go to Matthew chapter 2. Dreams and visions. Thank God for dreams and visions. You know what? Usually God speaks to us through dreams and visions to bring something more clearer to us. Amen? And sometimes because we miss the still small voice. And sometimes we're so busy, he can only speak to us when we're asleep. Hello? Oh, hallelujah. But thank God he's speaking to us, right?
Amen.
Now listen, he won't speak to you if you don't want him to speak to you.
Amen.
You know, that's why we're to invite him. Lord, as I sleep tonight, reveal knowledge to me. Amen. Show me what it is. Impart in me. You know? And you got to be honest before God, man, you know? Tell him you're a bonehead when you are. You know, tell him you messed up and repent. You got to be honest before him.
Yeah.
You got to talk to him as your best friend.
Yeah.
No secrets. No secrets between you and your Father. You don't hold any secrets back. He won't either. Ooh. Glory to God. Matthew 2, chapter 19. I mean, verse 19. Now when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, take the young child, Jesus, and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the young child's life are dead. So you see, God spoke to Joseph in a dream, didn't he? Amen. And God is still speaking in dreams today. Believe me, I've had many dreams where the Lord has spoke to me and spoke to my wife in another dream on the same night and gave us both a message for the next day. Hallelujah. And I'll give you some other references. He spoke to Solomon in dreams, and that's in 1 Kings 3:5. And he spoke to Pilate's wife in a dream and warned her about getting involved with persecuting Jesus.
Yes.
Let him go. And that's in Matthew 27:19. Now, understand something. Some people just don't believe that God speaks to us in dreams and visions today. They don't believe that. Well, they're incorrect. Because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, isn't he? He's the same. The spirit has not changed. It's man's theology that has. Does everybody understand that? You know what happens is people begin to preach or minister out of intellect because they can't see. They begin to prophesy and attempt to move in the gifts of the Spirit. And I'm not saying that they can't. But the majority of the time it's wrong.
Amen.
They don't come to pass. Because they're ministering out of intellect instead of, because there's more of an outward relationship instead of an inward relationship. Let me tell you something. I desire more dreams and visions. I want more. I want more. But you don't get it unless you ask. You have not because you ask not. Why? Because you want to have more of an inward relationship with the Lord. Why? Because you're the temple of God. Right? You're the temple. Hallelujah. Go to Acts 16. Acts chapter 16 and verse 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Has everybody got it? Hallelujah. So God is going to give you visions, doesn't he? Now, there are night visions and there are awake visions. You can go into a trance and so forth. In fact, I'll share that with you. Go to Acts 11 and verse 5. I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I what? Saw a vision. He was awake, wasn't he? But he was like in a trance, wasn't he?
Yeah.
An object descending like a great sheet let down from heaven by the four corners, and it came to me. When I observed it intently and considered, I saw four-footed animals on the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds. And I heard a voice saying to me, Peter, arise, Peter, kill and eat. But I said, no, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has at any time entered my mouth. And the voice of the Lord answered again from heaven, what God has cleansed, you must not call common. Has everybody got it? Now, he was on a rooftop of a house. And he had a trance. So, you know, that can happen. And if it's God, you're not going to fall off. Now, we know that also in the book of Acts, in verse 9, or chapter 9 and verse 10, you don't have to go there, Ananias was praying. When Saul got slam dunked by the Lord, who became Paul, Ananias was praying, and the Lord appeared to Ananias in a vision and said, go, lay your hands on your brother Saul. Right? And he got baptized in the Holy Spirit. So God will even speak to you and give you a vision in your prayer time. Amen. Many times I've just gotten up and I got a vision of something or whatever. And even when and during services and ministry, the Holy Spirit will show me something, which is a awake vision, and share with me what's going on. Because a picture is worth 1,000 words, isn't it?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Is everybody okay? 2 Timothy chapter 3. Glory to God. In verse 15, somewhere around there. Oh, 14. Hallelujah. It says, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the what?
Holy
Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So the next way that God speaks to you is through the Word. Does everybody get it? Now this may sound strange to us because we've been brought up in a tendency to always go to the Word, then to the Lord. But the Spirit of God is trying to bring us to Him, right? Then to the Word. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Now, the final way that God speaks to us is in Galatians 6. Galatians 6. Everybody there? Is everybody there? Praise God. Come on, the Spirit didn't tell you? Galatians 6, verse 7 and 8. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will reap corruption, and he who sows to the Spirit will reap everlasting life. The final way that God usually speaks to us is through circumstances. Through circumstances. When you miss God, a circumstance will manifest. In fact, the world's going to know when the wrath of God hits that they missed God. And that's going to be a great circumstance. Now, I want to close in Revelation 3. Revelation 3 and verse 20, and it says, it's good to hear pages flying on a Tuesday night. There's a windstorm of the word going around here tonight. In verse 20 it says, Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door is the what? Your will. I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches and to his people." Amen? Amen? So remember, the Spirit is going to speak to you through a still small voice, gifts of the Spirit, dreams and visions, right? The Word and circumstances. Why? Because you're the temple of God. Amen?
Amen?
To God be the glory, Lord. Thank you for your word. We ask that you'll put the blood over the seed. Visit us in dreams and visions. Grant us revelation, confirmation, and manifestation. And keep us in your spirit. In Jesus' name.
Jesus.
And everybody said...